Are we getting close to defining unfaithfulness in a church? Is disobedience to the word unfaithfulness? Is that what God calls harlotry? Is unfaithfulness? Okay, 1 Corinthians 7, brother wants to hear. Let me read, let me put that up. They go so fast I can hardly read them. Oh, okay, yeah. 1 Corinthians 7:32. Well, maybe you can give some light on it, brother. Go ahead. You've got the wisdom of God. You brought it up. Tell us what you believe this is saying. Are you still there, brother? Yeah, are you there, brother? Share with us what you believe here. I think he's here, isn't he? It's gone. The chat is gone, I think. Oh, it'd have been Titus. He's off. Okay. Somebody wanna comment on this? 1 Corinthians 7:32, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit, but she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that which ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. Should I read more? All right, well, I'll read more. But if any man think that he behaveth uncommonly toward his virgin, I don't know what that means, if she pass the flower of her age, in other words, they're just to be friends, I guess, and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So the he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. I think we can quit at that point. So, what is the meaning here? Is this saying that a minister should not have a wife? Is this a conflict with Paul telling Timothy and Titus that their quote unquote bishop, which doesn't mean bishop, should have a wife? Everybody gonna go quiet on me here?
In my opinion, whoever wrote that chat must have been referring to you talking about how marriage was a good thing. And that scripture seems to sound like Paul is saying to be unmarried is even better. But the way that I take it is Paul was just commenting that without a wife, you can even concentrate more on God. But to me, the meaning is you can be the best Christian you can be, whether you're married or whether you're not married. It doesn't even have that much to do with it. So I think it's saying that both ways, I mean, when God said it's not good for man to be alone, that speaks of marriage is good. And when Paul says you can more concentrate on God without a woman to have to please, is true also. But I don't think it declares that being unmarried is better. I think that's what he must have been referring to. And one other thing I wanted to just comment on is when you said if you ask these Catholic priests to reconcile these differences in scripture, it brought back a memory of Richard Wurmbrand one time brought this up to a Catholic priest. They have all kinds of different images in the Catholic Church and stuff, and Richard Wurmbrand presented the scripture to him that said, "Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image." And he said, "How can you reconcile that?" And this priest says, "Oh, you silly Protestants, have someone else make it for you."
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, brother, you put a chat out there. Do you have a comment that you'd like to make on it? I can talk about it, but I'd rather hear you.
Yeah, I agree, believe it or not, I agree with Mike on that Paul is just saying it would be easier, less burdensome, especially if if you're in the missionary field, not to be burdened down with a wife or a family. But there's a real danger in that because, not every man can do that and sustain that without temptation. And so if you can do it, fine. It's better. But Paul is not saying that you should be single.
Well, Paul, at the time of writing this, was single. Okay, he was without a wife,
Yeah, but
and he,
he was prior to that, he was married.
yes, he was married at one time. Now, it can't prove it except that he was on the council. He was on the Sanhedrin, and the Jewish rule is you could not be in the Sanhedrin unless you were a married man. They didn't take single men in. So he had to have had a wife at one time. And we know he had a sister and a nephew as well, because that's in the book of Acts. So he came from a family. But the business that he was going into, he was going into some pretty terrible places. Not a good place to take a woman in. And he knew it. I mean, if he's going to get beaten and flogged and thrown in prison, no, I won't expose a good woman to this. She can serve the Lord. I'll leave her back home. She's a good woman, but I'm not going to have her beaten up and half killed and everything else. I'll take that on myself. Now, the other thing you said, Larry, too, is a man has to have a specific gift for this to remain celibate. And in my estimation of knowing human beings, this is a very rare thing, okay? A rare thing. Now, maybe he's that way biologically, maybe he was born that way, I don't know. If you're born that way, fine, okay? But you've got to be a very rare individual to have that gift of celibacy. And maybe it's easier for a woman. I don't know. I'm not being a woman.
And look at what's happened, you know, to the Catholic Church and all the troubles that they have had because the priests are single. You know, that all could have been eliminated. Well, not all, but for the most part. But the idea that they had to remain single, I'm not sure what the cause or the reason was for that. I have heard prior to this that it was so that the money they wouldn't have kids and a family, so that the church, the Catholic Church, can maintain more of their wealth without supporting a whole family. I don't know if that's the reason, but again. The prophet or the apostle that they look to is Peter. And Peter, of all people, was married and had a family. So who knows?
Well, see, Larry, this is where you go back to either, well, our tradition now, we got a revelation that's the new way to go. Or, so what are they going to do with these conflicts? Well, the one thing is they say the tradition trumps it.
Oh, yeah.
The other way they can do it is another revision of the Bible, which kind of softens that and the wording kind of says, well, you can take that either way, you know? So changing the words is another way to do it. Yeah. And they're doing it both ways. Yeah, Larry, some of these dioceses are going bankrupt over lawsuits because the government said, now you can sue. You can sue back so many years the organization where the priest molested the boys or what have you. So this whole organization, because of this rule, it's attracting, what was that? That newspaper in Boston. Remember that film that they put out? Spotlight. I tell you, if you've never seen that, get a hold of it. Buy it as a DVD. You go online, you can buy that. When they were selling them, my goodness, I bought every copy I could find, and I sent them out to people. I maybe sent you one, Larry, did I?
You may Spotlight. Have. You know,
but anyway, that the research that this newspaper did, I'm surprised, being a Catholic community like Boston, that this newspaper got away with it. Something like 80%, and maybe it was more, of the priests are practicing homosexuals. And those that aren't are involved in adultery and fornication. Very rare that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Very rare. Hmm. No, if Paul had a gift, I believe, after his wife died or whatever, he had a genuine gift, and he understood that if you have that gift and you could go ahead and, you know, focus full time on this, then go for it.
The scripture that comes to my mind in regard to that is when Jesus talked about the eunuchs. He said, some men have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of God. So to me, that would mean that if a man decided that he wanted to devote his entire life and attention and everything else to just the kingdom of God, that's okay to do. But that's not a commandment that's the best thing or that you should do.
Yeah, and if you read that book by Shanique, 40 Years in the Church of Rome, one of the priests in Canada actually tried that physically to eunuchize himself. And it was a terrible ordeal that almost killed him. Maybe I've got two stories mixed up, but the man could not overcome temptation. And he was so grieved over this that he couldn't overcome, that he went and half butchered himself. Without good surgical wisdom. Well, we've been over a whole lot of other things besides celibacy. Did anything else hit you? We'll go over more next time. We got a whole lot more to talk about.
Hey, Mark, going back to the Assemblies of God down there in Schenectady with all the pastors, why did you say they wore the collar?
This one did. Just one. I don't think they all did. I don't think Yusko did. I don't think what was their head honcho? I don't think he did. But
Wells.
What?
Wells.
Well, no, yeah, Wells didn't do it. This was one of the other guys. I didn't know him very well. I'd only met him a couple times. But he said, and he said, we. Now, I don't know. I didn't see Wells, or I didn't see any of the others. He said, we are doing this to show unity with our Catholic brethren. That was the exact words that he used in that restaurant.
Well, I heard, you know, Stephen, who was part of that. He was one of the 12 pastors, and he said that every Sunday when they Sunday meeting, they would all be wearing the collar. And when I asked him why is it necessary to do that, he said was because of the people, you know, the commoners, I guess we'll call them, you know, those that were not part of the ministry would know who to come to, you know, when they needed prayer or, you know, some kind of ministry, so that they had to wear the collars to designate who they could go to for prayer. So that's a little different reason. But one time when we were up in Lake Placid, I remember this specifically, Steve and Mary were with us for a few days. And it was Sunday morning, and we were getting ready to go to breakfast. And he comes out of the bedroom with his collar on, you know, to go to breakfast. And
this I have to tell you,
I remember feeling so uncomfortable with him wearing that collar. You know, it just kind of something overcame me that why is he doing this? And why do I have to be kind of seen with him or associated with him, you know? But he wore it to breakfast. I don't know what he thought was going to happen if, you know, he was going to be recognized up someplace where we didn't know anybody. But I was kind of embarrassed for him.
Well, this is Nicolaitanism. And you know, Larry, it isn't just in, there's a lot of Protestant churches that have gone that way. A lot of them.
It's sad.
And there's other ways to take that recognition thing too. And that is the titles, you know, taking on titles, Reverend, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of recognizing a separate class from the people, from the saints.
Yes, imagine you had to go to one of the so-called pastors in order to get prayer and, you know, to be ministered to, rather than just a brother or sister in the body of Christ.
You're seeing this whole Babylon harlot system being put together piece by piece. Again, the one who can intercede for you, you know, who do you pray to? Who do you confess to? You know, so it would identify this whole system. Jesus said he hates the system that takes man and puts him on a pedestal, a throne above himself. And they've made it into a hierarchy. They've made it into a doctrine. The daughters of this harlot are carrying on, maybe not in such a brazen manner, but they're carrying on the traditions. Well, okay. Praise the Lord. We got a lot more to go through. We've got up to 1,000 years. We got another 1,000 to go through yet. And we'll see where it goes. I'm going to shut the recording off. You can say it off the record now.